Number one, Acts chapter number one. Look very quickly at verse number eight. Acts chapter one and verse number eight, a very familiar verse. If you've been around Independent Fundamental Baptist Churches for even a short while, you know this verse, Acts 1 and verse number 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for this time. I pray now, Father, that you'll work in our hearts, Father. Thank you for challenging my heart, Father, and may you work in the hearts of other believers tonight as well, for we pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to start off this evening by looking at some old words and some new words. And so I'm going to be asking you for some definitions, all right? And remember, the definitions don't have to be the exact Bible answer or some theological answer. Just tell me what it means in your own words, and we'll give several people opportunities to do that. First word is saved. Saved. Is anybody here saved and know it? What'd you say, sister? Redeemed? Okay, great. So what else? Saved. If I use the term saved, yes. Saved from hell and the second death, yes. Miss Gail, are you raising your hands or just? Okay, yes. Safe, good. What else? Reconciled, yes, that's a good biblical word there. What else? Anybody else? Any other thoughts? What is it? Born again, yes, yes, that's a great answer. What else? Henry? Yes, in the protective arms of God. They're all great answers. How about this conversion? When we save someone, we lead them to Christ, and we don't actually save them. We think of this term, what Pastor James' favorite two words in the whole world are, besides his wife's name. It's soul winning, amen? We think of save, salvation, we think of that. How about this? Witness. What comes to mind when you hear the word witness? Quickly, not quickly. We got a lot to cover. What? Go ahead. Telling us about Jesus, yes. Anybody else? Testimony, yes. Testimony, yes. Anybody else? The way we act. Yeah, the way we walk. How about this? Share what Christ has done for me. And everything you said is exactly true. This is the way I put it. Just share what Christ has done for you. You don't have to know the Romans Road, the John Road, the Revelation Road, or any Isaiah's Road, and they're all in the Bible. Just tell him what he did for you. Tell him when you recognized where you were at in life and what you needed. You needed a Savior, and you were a sinner, and you cried out, and God saved and changed your life. That's all you have to tell him. Give him the details of your story. How about, Here's one I want you to think about. Church growth. Church growth. Growing in the Lord. Okay, good. Members, good. What else? Expanding, yes. That's good. Closer walk with God. Somebody else. All right, yes. Discipleship, yes. Somebody say something. More names in the book of life, all right? So if we think about this term church growth, I think we can break church growth down to two separate areas. What do you think I mean when I say this word internal growth? Internal growth. Pardon me? The growth of the member. That's 100% hit the nail on the head. I knew an Air Force person would get that right. Praise the Lord. That's what it speaks about. It speaks about the spiritual maturity of members. So here's another word. We hear this word, external growth. What can we think of when we hear that term? External growth. Pardon me? Outreach, yes, but more than just outreach. What do pastors always want to know on Sunday? They want to know two things. What? Numbers, that's right. So when we hear the first one is internal growth speaks of our spiritual maturity of members, and external growth speaks about the number of members. So number of members can grow three ways. What are they? Salvation. That's a number one way. That's personal evangelism. That's the way it ought to be. And church growth should mainly come from personal evangelism. You going out, winning people to Christ. You giving your testimony, sharing what God has done for you, that they want to have what you have. So we have conversion growth, new Christians, two other kinds. We just had one. Tell us, new parents, what is it? What is it? birth, biological growth. You having babies, right? So that's wonderful. That's another way to grow. We haven't grown that way in how old, Zay and Elise? 3. That's too long. We need to be having 3 births a year here in this church, all right? We got to get on a stick, some of you guys. Come on. Your kids are growing out of the house. Time for you to have another one. Let's get moving. So we think of conversion growth, biological growth, and then another way the church grows. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. And what might that be? Transfer. There's an Air Force person's got it right on. She must have read my notes. Amen. Transfer growth. People move into the area, come unite with Sharon Baptist Church. Probably this is good. That's good. People move into the area and join our church. But it's bad when people just transfer from this church to the next church, to the next church, and to the next church. You got to be cautious about that. Wonder, every church in the whole peninsula can't be wrong, amen. You have to begin to wonder why they transfer so much. So we have saved, witness, and church growth. Here's a new word, community. Community. And don't say outreach, pastor. Because that's already taken. Community. Where we live. Yes, great. What else? Our neighbors, yes. Maybe define community. What is a community? What does it encompass, huh? Our relationship with each other, yes. What would you say, Air Force girl? All right, wonderful, praise the Lord. Not exactly what I was looking for, but you got 2 out of the other one, so I'm still hanging with you. You're doing good. So we think of community, we think of belonging. Think about this word, and we won't take time to turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It talks about fellowship. You know, that word fellowship really, and Thayer's Greek lexicon really gives us this definition, an association. A community is an association of people. Sometimes gives us the idea of having intimacy. And of course, it means a joint participation, like the community of believers are going out and being a witness for Jesus Christ. It comes from that word, a fellowship. Koinonia from the Greek word means fellowship. So we have community. Here's another new word, missional. Missional. What's that mean? What do you think that is? Missional. That's a great answer. Missionary. Yes, great answer. I think it encompasses a little bit more than just missionaries. What else? Go ahead. Have a purpose. Have a purpose for what? For missions, right? Right, that's a great answer, right? All right. Somebody else. The Great Commission, that's a good answer. What'd you say, Mary? Reach the lost. Yes, that's a great answer as well. But I want you, when you hear this term missional, I want you to think of it this way. Missional is not what we do. Missions is what we do. Missional, it's not what we do. It's what we are. We are missional because we reach out for worldwide missions. There's an old emphasis in missions that goes something like this. And when we speak about missions, and I mean evangelism, of course, and missions as well, we have this. We're going to build this great big church and build a gymnasium, and then they're all going to flood in the doors. They're all going to come into us. You see, that's the old school. I'm here to tell you that this sanctuary's been here over 18 years now, Henry, 19 years, and we still have empty seats every Sunday, so that train of thought really didn't work out right. So now there's a new emphasis. They're not coming to us. Guess what we are going to do as missional people? We're going to come to them. How do we come to them? Well, community outreach, amen. Community day, we normally go out to where they are. I think of trunk or treat, personal evangelism, door knocking, hanging, door hangers, other outreach areas. That's where we are going to them instead of us just sitting back waiting for them to come to us. So really we could say that being missional is really a fresh look at an old mission. And the old mission is that we take the gospel of Jesus Christ out to a lost and dying world. And the same mission that sent Jesus Christ into the world, guess what? Sends you and I out into a lost and dying world as well. You know, when you think about old and new words, we also think about God as being the sender. You know, God sent his son, Jesus Christ. I understand that he's God, and I know that, and you know that. But still, God the Father sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and I. And the names that we use shape how our perspective is of God the Father. We think of the word Elohim in the Bible. And that's often in the Bible by the word, it's made mention by the word of God, capital G-O-D. And it stands for the strong one, the creator, the preserver, the keeper of the covenant. So we hear that term in the Bible, God, and we use that term. That's what we're thinking about, the strong one, the creator, the preserver, the keeper of his covenant. When we use that word, hear that word Jehovah, we use that word Jehovah. In the Bible, it's Lord, all capitals. That makes reference to his holiness. He's the truth revealer. He's righteousness. And then when you have the word Lord with a capital L, all small letters, that's his name for Adonai. It means Lord, sovereign, or master. And so when we would be addressing him, we would say, Lord God, or you're the sovereign. Or as I said to my friend, he would pray, oh, master. He was saying, oh, Adonai. I think of Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. I think of Jehovah Jireh, one who sees our need. And get this, not only sees our need and knows our need, but he will provide for our need. And Jehovah Rophi, the one who heals. And then, check this out, God our sender. There's a new name for him you haven't heard probably very recently. God our sender. It may sound funny, but it's biblical. God is the sender. He's the one that sent Christ. He's the one that sends us. When I think of the word apostle from the Bible, that word apostle comes from apo, which means from, and stelo, which means to send. So we could say literally we're one sent forth, or we are one sent from God. That's what an apostle is. And there's an old Latin phrase that's written in Latin is pronounced this way, missio Dei. And it's M-I-S-S-I-O, capital D-E-I, missio Dei. And that word means sending forth, or sometimes it's translated as the mission of God. So we see that God has a mission, and that is to send forth. And I think sometimes our motivation for missions are all wrong. Now hear me out. Our motivation for missions sometimes is all wrong. And I found myself in my years of my sanctification, of growing to be more like Christ, perhaps fitting into this category. So I want you to think through these as I go over these four things here very quickly. I think our motivation for missions are wrong at times. We had here's wrong reasons for missions, to get involved in missions, because people are lost. That's the wrong reason to get involved in missions. Because we want to help them. That's the wrong reason to get involved in missions. Because we want to go plant churches. That's the wrong reason to be involved in missions. To go because he sent us, or to join God in missionary endeavors. That's the wrong reason. These aren't the reasons why we should be involved in missions or becoming a missional type of person. Let me just explain what I mean by that. You see, missions is more than just going. Missions is more than just getting. Missions is more than just giving. It's knowing that what God wants us to do, because we know what God wants us to do, it motivates us to go because he sent us, and by following his commands, we become missional. You see, it's not because we look over there and we say, man, if we don't go over there, they're going to die and go to hell. Boy, they really need their help over there. I better get over there. Boy, they need a church over there. I better go plant a church over there. And listen, because he wants to go. No, that's not that. They're bad reasons for getting involved in missions. We get involved in missions because we understand and know what God wants us to do, and that motivation causes us to be sent and follow his commands. And as we do that, we truly become missional people. You see, those first three or four reasons, they're good reasons, but it shouldn't be our motivating factor just because people are dying and go to hell. The motivating factor ought to be this: it's because God commands that we go. He expects our obedience. He expects us to be missional. And because we know that God wants us to do it, we're motivated to do it. You see, when I look out into the harvest, I see people dying going to hell. I might be moved by that today. But come a rainy day, or come a day that I want to do something else, you know what? I can say, well, I went last week, or I went the week before. It don't really matter. don't know, for this weekend, I'm just gonna stay home. I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna give my faith promise this week. I'm not gonna do this. And we can look out and we can, you know, in our own mind kind of justify that. But if our reason for being missional is motivated because God expects it, God declares it, God desires it, then guess what? Our motivation is not the people out there. It's not because they need a church, because they need help. It's because God tells us. And when God tells us to do something, guess what? There's a whole different aspect upon the situation. And so those reasons are good, but we use those reasons to have the wrong motivation to win people to Christ. Let me just share with you a couple examples, then we'll be done. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, we find that Abraham was sent to start a new nation. It says, I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee, and all thee shall all thy families of the earth be blessed. See, why did Abraham go? He didn't want to go particularly just because he was going to be blessed, although he would be blessed. He went because God sent him. Isaiah heard these words from God in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And Isaiah answered, here am I, send me. Why did Isaiah go? Was it because the people were lost? Was it because they needed help? Was it because they needed to plant a church? It was because God told him. His motivation to be a missional person was God motivated him. He heard what God had to say. John the Baptist, the Bible says in John 1 and verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Who sent John? God sent John. Jesus, if you think about it, was sent to die for the sins of all the world. That's his mission. That's what God declared that he was going to do. Everything else prepared for the cross and then the resurrection. I think John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. God gave, God sent. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus Christ was not only sent, and he was sent by God the Father, but grab a hold of this thought for just a moment. And not only was he sent, but because he's part of the triunity of God, he was the sender. Grab hold of that for a few moments, amen. He was sent, but he also was the sender. Man, that ought to do something inside you. Jesus said in John 20 and verse 21, as my Father has sent me, so even so send I you. Guess what? We have the same mission. We have the same message as all these other folks did, the same message that Christ had. And our primary focus on Christ's followers is missions. And we ought to be mission-minded and ought to be missional in that. All of us, just not those that are called into full-time service. Every one of us has this responsibility. You say, well, where are we to be missional at? It's very easy. Acts 1:8. Everywhere we go, we ought to be missional. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. No matter where you go, we ought to be missional people. Our motivation is not because they're lost and they're dying and they're on their way to hell, not because they need help. Our motivation to be a missional child of God is because God expects it, God demands it, and he asks us to be. That's our motivation. And so if we have the wrong motivation, we'll do it for a season, but then when that excuses begin to pop up, we'll just go right by it. I think that that our mission is to be busy about doing the things of the Lord. Well, how can we make Sharon Baptist Church missional? How can we be missional? Well, there's a theological source, and that's by missions begins in the heart of the triunity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It begins here at Sharon Baptist Church. It begins with the preaching and teaching of God's Word and your personal work that you do each and every day inside your hearts of your own devotions. Then it's historical work. Sharon Baptist Church really was born in soul winning passion. And this church, Sharon Baptist Church, merged here with the church that was on site here. And really, being missional, soul winning, was a passion. And we need to have that same kind of passion. And then we find how we can make Sharon Baptist Church more missional. It's the personal source. It's where we need to say, just like the prophets of old, here am I, Lord, send me. That's what we need to cry. That's the heartbeat of the Lord. Ed Setzer said this, and he does a lot of writing concerning trends and just different things in the New Testament church today. He said this: living missional is a day-to-day lifestyle choice, a series of small decisions that add up to a life given over for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I leave you today and ask yourself, am I involved in missions and am I missional? Because you can be involved in missions but not be missional. And I think it would be God's desire and God's will for all of us to be missional, including the collective body of believers that we call Sharon Baptist Church. Let's pray.